The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles of interest from AARP.com, Kiplinger.com, and also Money.com. As we start this episode, we'll begin with an article from AARP.com that's titled, How to Go on a Money Diet. Worried about your financial shape? Try trimming some fat from your budget. If you're worried about heart health, you can try to lose weight. Why not apply the same logic to your finances? A recent survey from Alliance Life found that 61% of boomers worry more about running out of money than death. It's an especially potent concern, is considering the current swings in the financial markets and apprehension over how tariff policies will affect consumer prices. For many people who are retired and living on a fixed income, or who are approaching retirement, now could be a good time to go on a money diet. A money diet entails cutting out the excess that's eating into your budget and spending money only on essentials for a set period. Trimming this budget fat can help you grow your savings and gain awareness of unhealthy spending habits. Since many older consumers are on a fixed income, a money diet would be a smart idea for them to consider, giving them more peace of mind on their money lasting through retirement, says Jillian Stevenson, an assistant teaching professor at Hines College at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. Well, what is a money diet? Also referred to as a spending fast, a money diet is a financial reset to eliminate unnecessary expenses, cutting out the spending equivalent of junk food, and sticking to a slimmed-down budget. It can help you spot ways you're wasting money, from automatic payments for streaming services you no longer use to overbuying food in bulk. It can also help you to be more intentional about how you spend your hard-earned income or retirement savings. How to start a money diet? It's a two-step process, says Melissa Joy, a certified financial planner and president of Pearl Planning in Dexter, Michigan. Step one is to look at your three most recent bank statements to determine how much you're spending and what you're spending on. Step two is to identify easy places where you can cut back, such as restaurant meals, concerts, and movies. Quick diet wins can include cutting down on excessive eating out and daily coffees, expensive hobbies like golf and gym memberships, lavish vacations and entertainment subscriptions, or cable TV, Stevenson says. When analyzing your expenses, ask yourself if there are things you regret spending money on, or hidden costs that you didn't even think about, or items that you bought that you would prefer to be more choosy about in the future. Think of it this way. Identifying where your money is overflowing will make it easier to turn off the tap. Use the money that you save strategically. You could stash it in an emergency fund so that you have a cushion in the event of a layoff, medical emergency, or other surprise expense. How big a cushion? Well, financial planners recommend 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. It's an important goal, especially considering 38% of Gen Xers, those ages 45 to 60, and around 1 in 3 boomers, those of us about age 61 to 79, said they had to use their emergency fund at some point in the last 12 months, according to Bankrate's 2025 Annual Emergency Savings Report. Money dieting tips. When you start a money diet, it helps to have a positive attitude. If the word diet makes you skittish, consider reframing the idea. Joy likes to call it a financial reset. In some cases, you may not need a complete money makeover, she says. It's about looking for intention where it comes to money and healthier behaviors. Monitoring your progress can help you stay the course. Keeping track of ways that you are saving can feel rewarding and almost like a game that you are trying to win, Stevenson says. If cutting out all your discretionary expenses cold turkey feels intimidating, keep in mind that a money diet isn't permanent. Setting a hard stop date can help you get going and stay motivated. While money diet persists, encourage taking the plunge and cutting out all the non-essential expenses, some experts say it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Making a few manageable cuts every week gives time for someone to build confidence and momentum while gradually developing new habits, says Mark Elliott, Chief Consumer Officer at Lending Club, a financial services company. They might begin by eliminating one or two subscription services, not eating out or making coffee at home. Once these changes feel natural, they can continue to budget and identify additional areas to trim. Remember, a money diet doesn't have to be a one-and-done endeavor. Making it an annual exercise can help you stay on top of your discretionary spending. And here are 6 money diet do's and don'ts. A money diet can help you dial down your spending and add to your savings. Follow these tips while cutting the fat from your finances. Do take a hard look at your expenses. Gather your recent credit card and bank statements. Highlight all non-essential purchases to identify expenses you can nix. Do have fun. Love eating out? Well, try cooking a few new recipes at home. Love to read? Load up on free library books. Now is also a good time to pursue free hobbies like birdwatching or gardening. Here's a tip. Some public libraries offer free seeds, soil, and even gardening equipment to patrons. And do keep track of what you save. Consider putting the money in a high-yield savings account where it can earn interest. Don't self-sabotage. Remove temptations to overspend. If you tend to make impulse purchases using credit cards, take the cards out of your wallet during your money diet. Similarly, clearing your web browser of saved credit card information can help curb online shopping sprees. And don't give up if you make an impulse purchase. One slip-up doesn't have to derail your money diet. And lastly, don't go it alone. Find someone who can hold you accountable, such as your spouse, partner, or a friend. Bonus points if you can go on a money diet with your partner and help each other stay motivated. Our next article also is from AARP.com. 7 products you should almost always buy generic. From toilet paper to aluminum foil, say goodbye to pricey brands for these items. Many brand name products are beloved by Americans, especially among older adults who've developed an affinity for certain brands over the years. But there are a number of items that shopping experts recommend consumers buy generic to save money. Let's start with your pantry. Generic foods cost as much as 40% less. A recent CNET study of groceries sold at Wegmans and Stop and Shop found. Many are just as good as the brand name counterpart, says Andrea Warich, a consumer savings advisor in Bakersfield, California. Generic and store brands have come a long way in recent years, she says. Many generic groceries are also made in the same facilities as brand names. So, you're paying less without sacrificing quality. Lindsay Chastain, a mother of four in Oklahoma, has been buying generic products for more than a decade to cut costs. I always check the price per unit when comparing products, and I keep a list on my phone of the generic products we like, she says. Older Americans didn't have as wide a selection of products growing up as shoppers do today. However, consumers now often face an overwhelming number of options, says Amy Keating, a test program leader at Consumer Reports, with more than 15 years of experience evaluating food products. Worried generic groceries don't taste as good as your name brand favorites? We have tested so many foods in different categories, and they have been comparable in quality to name brand, says Keating, who shops generic when she buys coffee, olive oil, and peanut butter. Here are seven household staples you should consider purchasing generic to save money. First up, frozen produce. All frozen fruits and vegetables are flash frozen at peak ripeness. That means the quality and nutritional values are generally the same, no matter the brand, says Keating. Generic frozen produce is about 30% less than name brand options, and many stores run sales on their own brands, so you can often get deals, says Warich. Plus, you can stock up when you snag a sale without worrying about frozen veggies or fruit going bad. One example. Note that prices can vary depending on where you shop. Brand name, Goya Frozen Whole Strawberries, 16 ounces, $4.69. In comparison, the generic Giant Frozen Whole Strawberries, 16 ounces, $3.59, for savings of $1.10. Number two, maple syrup. Producing maple syrup isn't simple, and its high price reflects the labor-intensive process of turning tree sap into something to put on your pancakes. So even generic maple syrups don't come cheap, but many cost substantially less than well-known brands. If you're a connoisseur of maple syrup, there are definite nuanced differences between brands. But for the average person, this may not be an issue, says Keating. Here's one example. Brand name Butternut Mountain Farm, 100% pure maple syrup, 32 ounces, $22.50. Compare that to its generic cousin, Target Good and Gather, 100% pure maple syrup, 32 ounces, $16.99, for a savings of $5.51. Number three, pet food. Shagupta Mulla, a veterinarian in Salem, Oregon, says it's generally okay to buy generic pet food to save money, but that pet owners should do their due diligence. Because there are so many in-store brand choices, always read the labels and ask your veterinarian about their opinion, too, before you buy, she says. The needs of pets vary widely depending on age, breed, and health status, she adds. For example, nutritional needs in the adult and senior stages vary widely. You want to make sure the food has the right nutrients in it. Here's one example. Brand name, Blue Buffalo, Life Chicken and Brown Rice, 24 pounds, $52. The generic version, BJ's Berkeley Jensen Chicken and Brown Rice Dog Food, 24 pounds, only $29.99. There's a savings there of $22 and a penny. And number four, toilet paper. Big retailers and supermarkets offer a wide selection of quality generic toilet paper and store brands, Woolrich says. Look for two-ply or better absorbency, she suggests. Single-ply toilet paper can cause irritation and is not as absorbent. Pro tip, don't buy toilet paper in bulk before you've tried it out, suggests Adam Schwartz, CEO of Coupon Surfer. While most generic paper products are a great way to save for toilet paper, I recommend trying one roll or a small package first to make sure you're happy with it, he says. And here's an example. Cottonelle Ultra Comfort 2-ply toilet paper, 24 mega rolls for $20.98. The generic version, Walgreens Super Soft Mega 2-ply bath tissue for 24 rolls, $15.99 for a savings of $4.99. And number five, aluminum foil. Aluminum foil prices are rising due to supply chain disruptions and tariffs on imported aluminum. So skip the big brands. Generic aluminum foil is typically more affordable, with store brand options often costing half as much as their name brand counterparts, says Destiny Chapman, a spokesperson for Top Cashback, a coupon and cashback website. One common complaint about generic aluminum foil is its tendency to tear or require a double layer to be effective. And that's true for some lower quality brands, Chapman says. To avoid this problem, look for terms like heavy duty or extra heavy duty when shopping for a generic roll. And one example, name brand Reynolds Wrap Aluminum Foil, 200 square feet for $13.49. The generic version, Harris Teeter Aluminum Foil, 200 square feet for $9.99, or a savings of $3.50. And number six, body wash. Generic beauty and personal care products offer some of the biggest savings, says Kimberly Palmer, a personal finance expert at NerdWallet. Some cost as much as 30% less than name brand products. Generic body wash, in particular, offers attractive savings. To cut down on waste and single-use plastics, consider buying a reusable bottle of body wash and ordering refills as needed. One example, name brand Dove Body Wash Deep Moisture, 24 ounces, $17.40. Compared to the generic version, CVS One and Other Moisturizing Body Wash, 24 ounces for $2.99. Wow, that's a savings of $14.41. And lastly, mayonnaise. In a Consumer Report study, testers favored Hellmann's when eating mayonnaise straight from the jar, but when mixed into your tuna salad, macaroni salad, or coleslaw, you likely won't notice the difference if you buy a less expensive in-house brand, says Keating. And the savings can add up, she says, especially if you're using a lot of mayo on an annual basis. Buying other generic condiments such as ketchup, mustard, barbecue sauce, soy sauce, and hot sauce can also help you save money. And one example, brand name Hellman's Real Mayonnaise, 30 ounces, $5.99. And the generic version, Walmart's Great Value Mayonnaise, 30 ounces, $3.38. And that's a savings of $2.61. And I don't know about you, but I'm a Duke's Mayonnaise guy. Our next article is coming from Kiplinger.com. From dream apartment to nightmare, when your landlord evicts you through no fault of your own. This is what I suggested a tenant to do to get out of their lease after her landlord's inexperience and lack of action made her rental situation unsafe. It's a legal situation called constructive eviction. This article by Dennis Beaver, Esquire. Have you ever heard of a constructive eviction? Of course, everyone understands the word eviction, as in being evicted from a rental unit, typically for non-payment of rent. But there is another kind of eviction that results when a landlord's behavior, intentional or not, deprives the tenant of the peaceful enjoyment of the premises. This can include things like failing to make necessary repairs or creating a hazardous environment. In effect, the behavior creates a situation where the tenant has no choice but to move and is in effect evicted. Constructive eviction gives tenants the legal opportunity to break a lease. In my law practice, I've seen this happen when a landlord hires an inexperienced or incompetent property manager. That was exactly what Julie complained of after she read my article, Why Older Adults Should Think Twice About Being Landlords. The experience she shared with me is instructive for property owners. Quote, cheap is often expensive. Julie described the $4,000 a month high security two-bedroom apartment for her and her husband Jack as pure heaven at first. And from great to not great, when we moved in, the entire complex lived up to all the advertised claims and conditions stated in our lease. That included concierge service, 24/7 on-site security management, common areas secured every night, furniture and cushions removed from the patio nightly to deter vagrancy, entrances consistently monitored, front desk staff 24 hours a day, attentive friendly staff, coffee and breakfast items offered each morning, wine and cheese in the evening. While located in a bad part of town, Julie said, it still was perfect for the two of us. We had a 2-year lease, which matched the time required for our vascular surgery residency at a nearby university medical center. From time to time, the property managers, a middle-aged couple, would drop by, asking if anything needed attention. Their concern made us feel so secure and glad we were living here, even if the rent was high. We were in seventh heaven. Until. Things went downhill fast. A year after moving in, Julie said, everything began going downhill when the property changed hands. At a meeting with all the tenants, 25-year-old Darren was introduced as our new property manager. He has a college degree in real estate development, but no experience as a property manager. He is the new owner's son-in-law and has, quote, know-it-all stamped on his forehead. Within weeks, the building became unsafe due to sporadic front desk coverage, no one present on weekends, packages left unsecured in the entry, attracting porch pirates, and a broken garage door leading to apartment units that could not be shut. Vegetation at the entrance became overgrown, preventing the door from closing, and a remote monitoring service of the building, including the parking garage, was canceled. It was as if a, quote, welcome burglars sign has been erected. Cars, including ours, were broken into. Tenants complained. Darren promised to handle the situation, but he did nothing. It has become dangerous, and we can't stay here, Mr. Beaver. There is a year to go on our lease. What can we do? Major breach of lease and constructive eviction arguments. I have a soft spot where physicians are concerned. Theirs is a world of cooperation and working with colleagues to help patients, not confrontation. I suggested sending Darren a polite letter asking for his help and making clear, quote, we have no choice but to move. I cautioned, Darren is not the only person who will see this letter. You need to project calm and be in control of your emotions, not blaming, but rather seeking a mutual benefit result in a by-the-numbers manner. List all the safety issues that have been brought to management's attention but never remedied. Review what was promised in the lease. Note that these issues create, at the very least, a major breach of the lease and what can also be considered as constructive eviction. Stress the reality of an actual risk of harm to you, and there is no way you can remain as tenants without suffering extreme anxiety, something you did not agree to when moving in. Do not blame Darren. Rather, say something along the lines that you are sympathetic to what must be frustrating for him as well, and are certain he has tried to address these issues. Conclude by saying, it is in everyone's best interest to cancel the lease. We will continue paying the rent on time and fully cooperate with showing our unit and will leave by X date. And honey versus vinegar, I suggested and Julie agreed that the one sentence needed to appear at the very beginning of her notice to end the lease. Dear Darren, this is not a letter I would ever have wanted to write. We so enjoyed living here and are not blaming you for the items described below. We know you're a fair person and will do the right thing. Within 24 hours, Darren's father-in-law, the new owner, emailed the couple, agreeing to all of their requests and offering all the help you might need to relocate. We're sorry to see you leave, but we understand. And we are now out of time for this episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Thanks again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.